especially blessed by our music this morning. It's really been a wonderful blessing. Thank you, choir, WT instrumentalists. Thank you so much for blessing us as you have this morning. Look with me, if you will, please, in John's Gospel, chapter 14, a very familiar passage that we've looked at together many, many times before. I want to try to share with you this morning a brief message on heaven. I don't know many subjects that I know of that I look forward to preaching on more than a message on heaven. Aren't you grateful God's given us a home beyond this old world? In fact, Jesus gathered the disciples together one evening, and it wasn't going to be long before he was going to the cross. And he's telling them that he's going to be leaving them, and they didn't quite understand. So Jesus, in trying to comfort their hearts, shared with them these words in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest or where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The psalmist echoed the words of Jesus. And the psalmist in Psalm 23 gave us that beautiful passage that almost all of us know by memory, the 23rd Psalm. The psalmist said, and Jesus used David used the analogy of the shepherd who leaves the palace, takes the flock into the fields during the springtime and summer, and returns in the fall. David the psalmist said, the sheep are almost home. His testimony is, there are green pastures beneath me, still waters beside me, a table before me, and the Father's house beyond me. The psalmist is moving from the pasture to the palace, and the good shepherd is now the gracious host. For just a few moments, I want us to think together about some very simple truths regarding heaven. And the first item is simply this. I want to talk about the promise of heaven. I'm going somewhere, and Jesus said, I'm going, and you know, you'll understand where I'm going when I can get through explaining it to you. Jesus shared in that 23rd Psalm, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It was a sweet promise to discourage disciples. Let me share with you just for a moment, if I may, the wonderful truth about heaven. Sometimes we think about the great truths that we've been heard all of our lives, and we take them for granted. And we're not talking this morning about some kind of mystical Disneyland and the far off by and by. No, we're talking about a real place, a place called heaven, a city that God has ordained we'll live forever along with us in this old world, in a new heaven, a new earth. The promise of heaven is one of those precious promises that we stand over many times. It's a real place for redeemed people. And by the way, if you've given your life to the Lord Jesus, you've got reservations already made in glory. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Heaven's a real place for redeemed people. I thought this was interesting. The word heaven occurs 559 times in the Bible. It's not a state of mind. It's not a condition of mystical union. It's a real place. We're going to spend a real eternity throughout the endless ages praising the name above every name. In John 14, Jesus basically was saying to the disciples, don't worry about death. Don't worry about the upcoming tragedy of the cross, the necessity of the cross. But God's got a purpose in it. Beyond death, there's an open door to an eternity with the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you why. We're not home yet. Remember that movie a long time ago? Was it Forrest Gump? That creature. What was that creature? Home. E.T., there you go, E.T. How could I forget E.T.? And one of the main lines in the whole movie, throughout the movie, was B.E.T. pointing that long finger heavenward and saying, home, home. Heaven's a real place. And the place where the Lord has prepared for his children to spend eternity with him. The promise of heaven is one of the Lord's most precious promises. By the way, the Lord always keeps his promises. He can't break them. And every once in a while, he'll whisper in our ear, I know you're going through a tough time. I know you're going through challenges in life. If I were to go up and down the rows of this wonderful building this morning, you could tell every row has a story, sometimes more than one, of hurt and heartache and pain and sorrow. But aren't you glad we're not home yet? It's a place we're headed to where there won't be any more pain, no more sorrow, no more death for the crime, for the former things to be passed away. In fact, that's what Jesus said through the psalmist in Psalm 23 when he talked about, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm grateful for the truths about a place called heaven, a perfect place. Think about it. Dr. R.G. Lee said, heaven's a land of no. No more sin. No more shame. No more sorrow. No more sickness. No more suffering. No more sadness. No more struggles. No more separation. No more loneliness. No more rejection. No more misunderstanding. No more temptation. No more weakness. No more night. No more death. No more diseases. No more hurts. No more tears. Folks, heaven would be absent of all those things that cause us heartache down here. Thank God for the wonderful promise of our Lord. I've gone to prepare a place for you. And the reason there's such an urgency about preaching on heaven is the Lord wants everybody to go. But the only way you can go is give your heart and life to Jesus and be saved, have your sins washed away by the precious blood of the Lamb. Heaven's a place that's a perfect place. I thought about some wonderful examples. It's a place of perfect peace. A place where when Jesus calmed the stormy seas of Galilee, it's just a picture of what he desires to do in the heart of every child of God. Peace, peace, that passes understanding. Heaven's a place of perfect worship. I like this. If you get weary, stay with me now. If you get weary of a long sermon, just think that in heaven we're going to be worshiping all day long, every day, and every kind of way. We won't ever get tired of praising the one whose name is above every name. We won't ever get tired of adoring the one upon the throne. We won't ever get tired of gathering with God's people to sing his wonderful praises throughout the ages. You see, worship's going to be a wonderful part of heaven. The perfect worship, the perfect service. I don't understand all that I know about the service we're going to have in heaven, but I believe the Lord's going to give you and I responsibilities in the heavenly kingdom. It'll be the perfect way to serve the Lord Jesus. Heaven's a place of perfect relationships. Nobody will ever get their feelings hurt again. Amen and amen. Nobody will ever get mad without reason. Perfect, by the way, I love this, perfect reunions. Have you ever noticed the clock just keeps ticking? And time just keeps passing us by. And one of the great blessings of heaven is we'll be with our redeemed friends and loved ones forever and ever and ever and ever. Heaven's a place of perfection. Heaven's a place of wonderful blessings. Heaven's a place of no sorrow, no sin, for the former things have passed away. I like this one. I like the permanence of heaven. Or I could have also said the pageantry of heaven. The permanence of heaven means heaven is there. It always has been. It always will be. And the 12 foundations of the city speak of heaven's permanence. You see, the Bible says that heaven is a place where the walls are made of jasper. Gates are made of pearl. And the walls of jasper. And the streets of gold indicate heaven's permanence. I wrote myself a note about the song that came to my mind when I was doing the study for the message today. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. heaven's permanence forever. Adrian Rogers said, I always loved to capture his Adrianisms, his wonderful little truths. Down here, men walk on God and worship gold. In heaven, we're going to walk on gold and worship God. The walls of jasper speak of heaven's permanence. The gates of pearl, I think, might possibly represent the suffering of the lovely Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross. And every time we see the gates of pearl, we'll be reminded we're saved by the precious blood of the Lamb. And that blood washes away all of our sin. The place of permanence, a place of perfection, a place of praise, a place of service, a place of celebration and joy, and a place where we'll never grow old. Won't have to worry about Social Security in heaven, will you? The Lord's going to take care of His children. Heaven's beauty, heaven's blessing, heaven's permanence, heaven's joy. One of the things I want us to be aware of this morning and make sure that we understand, heaven's prepared for all who will trust the Lord Jesus. But not everybody's going to go. Jesus said on one occasion there's a broad road, and a lot of folks are traveling that broad road. It's a road of good intentions, but it's not a good enough road to get you to heaven. It's a road where a lot of folks are religious and travel, but it won't get you to heaven because it's not according to the Scripture. In the new birth in the blood of Jesus. But you see, the road that gets you to heaven is a straight and narrow road. It's paved with the blood of the Lamb, and it's a road that gets you to glory. One of the things I want us to be sure we understand is when we breathe our last breath down here, we'll take our first breath in glory. If you're a child of the living Lord, thank God for a place called heaven, the permanence of heaven. Pageantry of heaven. I got to thinking about the things we've seen. I've been so blessed. I've been to the place of the tallest waterfall in the world, Victoria Falls in Zambia, Africa. I've on vacation been to the Caribbean and seen God's wonderful beauties, and seen some Lord's many blessings. And I get to thinking, all the blessings we've seen that day, all the glorious sights would be eclipsed in comparison to the beauty of heaven and the majesty and marvel of that great city. But the best thing of all this would be in the presence of the Lord Jesus from now on, forevermore and ever and evermore. Let me ask you a question. Have you made your reservations yet? Do you know that if you died today, you'd have a home in heaven? I trust that you do. I pray that you do. Because in a few moments, we're going to give an invitation. We're going to give you the opportunity, if you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, to say yes. But just before we do, someone once wrote, and this thought captured my attention, unbelievers have a hopeless end. Believers have an endless hope. And there's one other illustration I'd like to share with you. There's a young man that came to Jesus by night, kind of like Nicodemus. He's a moral young man. He answered all the right questions. And Jesus said, thou art not far from the kingdom of heaven. You can sit in the church and hear the message of the gospel. You can sing wonderful hymns of praise. You can agree with what the preacher says when he preaches. But if you've never repented of sin and by faith received the Lord Jesus, he'll not do you good until eternity comes. But I thank God. But I can go back to the time when I gave my heart and life to Christ and was gloriously and wonderfully saved. That can be the case for some of you here today this morning. In our prayer time, WT and I were thinking about the service and we prayed, Lord, if there's any lost people in the service today, speak to their heart. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if some man, some woman, some boy, some girl came this morning to say an eternal yes to Christ? Jesus talked about heaven because he wants everybody to go. I've prepared a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again. I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be. Also, heaven can be yours. I thought about some of the scenes I've had the opportunity to enjoy. Libby and I, several years, took a vacation with three other wonderful preacher couples, preachers and their wives, to Alaska. And I'd never been to Alaska, and I was overwhelmed by the majesty of that great state and by the marvel and the beauty of the glaciers. And I never realized how awesome they were and how magnificent they were. And the glaciers were blue. Did you notice that? Glaciers are blue. And I've seen some beautiful sights. I've flown over the Grand Canyon. Now, that's a sight. It's the plane we were going to Las Vegas. Now, let me finish that story. Because that's the last thing some of you will remember. The pastor went to Las Vegas. The Southern Baptist Convention was meeting in Las Vegas. Somebody say amen. Thank you. So I said, preacher, did you just one time drop a coin in that slot machine? I said, no, not one time. Because Jesus was looking over my shoulder. But I've been to some of the Lord's prettiest sights, some of the most wonderful places, and enjoyed some of the most blessings of the Lord. But nothing to compare that to that day when I opened my eyes. If the Lord tarries, is coming. Nothing compared to the day when I stand in the presence of the Lord, see Him face to face, and bow on my knees and say, Lord, Thou art worthy to receive honor and glory and majesty and praise. Heaven's a wonderful place to serve the Lord forever and ever and ever throughout the endless ages. Have you made your reservation? Do you know that you're going when the time comes? If the Lord tarries, is coming. I've always loved to preach on heaven. I always have felt so inadequate to try to preach on it, because how do you describe the lyrics of a song to somebody who can't hear? How do you describe the beauty of a sunset to somebody who can't see? How do you describe the majesty and the glory of heaven that half has not yet been told? One of these days, I don't know what songs we're going to sing in heaven. Maybe it'll be a brand new song. But what a blessing it'll be to be able to sing. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face and tell the story saved by grace. What a day, glorious day that will be. And God's people all said, amen and amen. Would you bow with me, please?